Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Moed Katan Daf Chaf Gimel. We left off on Daf Chaf Beis and Beis. We're a little bit behind, five lines before the lines get medium. So we're five lines into the skinny lines from the bottom. So the today's daf is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children. Also by Avishai Newman Lilinishmas, his father, whose yard site was Tuesday. Also by Eric Cohn, commemorating the yard site of his mother, Susan Cohn, Sarah Freda, Bras Avram, Aryeh, Allah Shalom, and Neshama Shav and Aliyah. Also by Debbie and David Adelson, Lilinishmas, their uncle, Yechiel Yoshua ben Rav Binyamin, David Adelson, a Polish Auschwitz survivor who served HaKadosh Baruch Hu faithfully, his Neshama Shav and Aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So we were in the middle of the discussion of the differences between Avelus Alava V'Imo and Avelus on Shar Krovim, particularly Kriya on Alava V'Imo versus Shar Krovim. So we're going to continue to discuss that. And then the Gemara is going to discuss changing one's seat in shul during Avelus, or at what point you change the seat in shul, at what point you don't even go to shul. Then the Gemara is going to discuss remarrying after one's wife dies, how long a person is supposed to wait before they get remarried. It depends on certain life circumstances that he has, whether he has children or doesn't have children yet, if he has children, whether they're young and need caring for. Then the Gemara is going to discuss wearing freshly laundered and pressed clothing when one is an Avel. And then the Gemara on Amud Beis is just going to have one topic, and that is about Avelus B'Shabbos, whether one is Noheg Avelus on Shabbos or not. So let's begin. Again, five lines before the lines get medium-sized on Daf Chaf Beis and Beis. I'll call the Mesim Kulon Sholel La'achar Shiva Ma'achal Achar Shloshim. For all other Mesim aside from a father and mother, a person is Sholel, which means an uneven, not thorough kind of stitching, but a wide stitch just to keep the beged together. You could do that once the Shiva is over, but then Ma'acha, then you can really mend the garment properly after Shloshim is over. But Alav V'Alimo Sholel Achar Shloshim Meinu Ma'acha Li'olam, that you could be Sholel after Shloshim, but Avimo, you can never fully mend the garment. V'isha Shalalto Li'altar, a woman could be Sholel Li'altar even right away after the Kavura, even during the Shiva, but because it's undignified for a woman to have a torn garment, even if it's not going to be Liba Megula, because we already discussed how she avoids revealing any of her body when she tears Kriya, but nevertheless, it's just undignified. A woman has to have a certain, is expected to have a higher level of dignity, and it's undignified for her to have her garment completely torn apart, and therefore she could be sholel li'alter. Most of the stuff about mending a garment afterwards, nowadays people don't do that b'chlal, because we have so much clothing that it used to be that they'd have a set of clothing that would last them a very long time. They didn't have too many sets of clothing, so it was a big loss to be Korea. So these shailas don't really come up so much. Kiyasa Ravin, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, I'll call a mason Ratza Korea, Biyad Ratza Korea, Bekli. When it comes to all other mason, if a person wants, they could do the Korea by hand, or if they want, they can use a knife to cut through the garment. But when it comes to father and mother, one must be Korea, Biyad. Now, typically what happens is that the edge of the beged, our begadim are very high quality also, and it's almost impossible to do a Korea, Biyad, so the edge of the beged needs to be cut Bekli. So that's what the Rishonim already point out, that if the edge of the beged is impossible to do biyad, so you should start it off with the knife, and then once they get through the edge of the beged, the rest is done biyad. I'll call the mesim kulun mi befnim. With all other mesim, you could do the kriya if you want mi befnim, meaning if the person puts his hand inside his shirt that covers his jacket that covers his beged, and he's korea the beged from underneath, and he doesn't have to be korea mi bechutz. He doesn't have to tear the out in a public way that everyone can see. But I love valimo korea mi bechutz. But for avimo, it should be a more overt, expressive act of kriya that everybody should be able to see. Amar Rav Chista v'chein l'nasi. Not only for avimo, but for the death of a nasi also, you korea bechutz. Just like I love avimo, meisvei. So the Gemara challenges lo hushvu love avimo ela li'ichoy bilvad, that we don't equate the dinim of kriya with of a rosh beis and a nasi with avimo, except for the halach of ichoy, for the halach of sewing up the kriya, that you're not allowed to be ma'acha the kriya li'olam when it comes to Nasi and Av Beisdin. But as far as being Koreh Mibachutz, apparently there's no equation between a Nasi and Av V'imo. My love, Afilu Nasi, doesn't that tell me that even a Nasi, you're not Koreh Mibachutz? So how could you say that for a V'chein L'Nasi, you're also Koreh Mibachutz? Lo, Levar Minasi. No, the Bryce is not referring to a Nasi. It means everyone except for a Nasi, because since everyone has to be Koreh for a Nasi, we're Mefarsim as much as possible, so we're Koreh Mibachutz for a Nasi as well, like Rav Chisda said. So for Av, for Imo, for a Nasi, we're Koreh Mibachutz. Once we're talking about a Nasi, Nasi HaShachiv, once the Nasi in Bavel died, and they were Chacham were knowing the Chumros of that they observe for a Nasi in Eretz Yisrael that dies, so I'm like Rav Chisda, Rav Nachman Barami, Kefi Asisa V'kum Allah, turn over the Machteshes and stand on top of it, V'achvi Kriya Li'alma, and show the Maisa Kriya to everybody. Since you're Koreh and a Nasi, a Kriya that's a public Kriya, so stand up on a pedestal, stand up on a soapbox, and tear Kriya in a way that everybody should be able to see the Kriya, because they observed all the chumras of a Nasi. Now, we had mentioned before that there's such a din of Chalitzas Kasev, Alav Val Imo, and on Shar Krovim as well, to when the person tears Kriya, to reveal their shoulders. So the Gemara is going to discuss, and what about when Chachamim die? So Al Chacham Choletz, when it comes to a Chacham, who's the local rabbi, they'd be Choletz at the time of the Levaya, they'd be Choletz Kasev Miyamin, but on the right side, Alav Beizdin Mismol, that when it was the Av Beizdin, then they'd be Choletz on the left side, because now Beizdin is considered a higher level than a Chacham, so they have to show a greater level of Tsar, and going on the left side it was more evident in their Begadim than Chalitzas Yamin, and therefore that's a greater level of Tsar. Al Nasi Mikan Umikan, but when it comes to a Nasi who dies, they'd be Choletz Kasev on both sides, both Yamin Usmol, they would have Chalitzas Kasev. Now they'd have to make sure that the Begad wouldn't fall down, so that's what the Rishonim point out, that they would tie some sort of belt over it or something, something to hold it up, but they would because the shoulders is what keeps the Begad up, but they would do Chalitzas Kasev Miyamin Usmol when they would tear the Kriya. Tan Rabban Chacham Shemes Beis Medrash Abatel. Once we're on the topic of a Chacham or a Nasi who dies, when a Chacham dies, his Beis Medrash is Batel. The people who normally learn from him are Batel from their learning during the Shivis Yimei Avelus, in order that they shouldn't be Misatzel Behespedo. We want them to be motivated to be Maspid properly. That's what the Ritva writes, that they're Maspid him for the entire 7 days, and and each day after the Hespid, they don't go to the Beis Medrash to learn, they just get together in Chavrusas to learn in their own homes. That's what the Rush writes. That it's not that they're Mevatel Torah entirely, but that Beis Medrash is not the same Beis Medrash for that week. We have a remnant of this every single week, that there's a minag that not to have learned Divrei Halacha between Mincha and Maariv on Shabbos afternoon, because the assumption is that's the time that Moshe Rabbeinu died. And Chacham Shemes, Beis Midrash Obatel. So people say these little Vertlech or whatever during Shalosh Shudas, because that's based on the idea of Beis Midrash Obatel. So Av Beizin Shemes, called Batei Midrash Shabi'iro B'telin. And Av Beizin that dies, all the Batei Midrashos in this whole city are Batel, even those that never learned directly from him, because everyone is Chayiv in the Hesped of the Av Beizin. And V'nechasin L'Beis HaKnesses, all the people of the community go into the Beis HaKnesses to daven with a minyan in the morning and in the evening, even on the weekday like they normally would, but they sit in a different place. Yoshim B'Tzafon, Yoshim B'Darim, those who normally sit in the Tzafon sit in the Darim, Yoshim B'Darim, Yoshim B'Tzafon, those who normally sit in the Darim sit in the Tzafon. Nasi, meaning they don't go front to back, they switch side to side, I guess. Nasi Shemes, if the Nasi dies, Batei Midrashos Kulam B'Telin, then all the Batei Midrashos are going to be batel, b'nei haknesses, nechassan l'beis haknesses, and the members of the community go into the beis haknesses, v'korin shiva, and they read from the Torah, they read seven aliyos from the Torah, if it's Shabbos, v'yotzin, and then they leave the shul, and they don't daven with the minyan in the shul, each one goes back to their own house. Reb Shub and Korcha omer, lo she'elchu v'yitaylu b'shuk, no, they don't, when we say that they leave the beis haknesses, it doesn't mean that they just go hang out in the shuk, because then it looks like they're not at all interested in the fact that the Nasi died. No, each family sits quietly, and the misabel for the loss of the Nasi and the bittel of the cover of the Beis HaKnesses. So, actually, before we get to that, so we said that what do? They go and they lane, and then they go back home, and they daven at home. That's how Rashi says, that they go back home and they daven at home. It sounds like they're davening biyichidus. The Rosh and the Ritva and other Rishonim say that maybe they're not davening in shul, but they got to daven b'tzibur in the Beis HaAvel. And the because how could it be that they're mevatel tefila b'tzibur? So difficult to understand why they would do that. How they could possibly be mevatel tefila b'tzibur? So that's what the Rishonim say. They weren't. They were just daven tefila b'tzibur in a lesser tzibur. So it's still a lesser kiyum. Meaning, even tefila b'tzibur, there's a kiyum of Baravam Hadras Melech. There's a kiyum of tefila b'beis haknesses. So normally we're makbid about all those things. That the tefila should be in its most elevated way. It should be in a beis haknesses. It should be Baravam. But we're willing to forego those things as a sign of Avelus. But to forego Tefillah B'Tzibur as well as a sign of Avelus, that far we don't go. Then the Gemara tells us, the Braisa continues, Ve'inom Shmu of Agada B'Beis HaAvel. We don't say learning in the Beis HaAvel, because that if you're Osik in learning, they're not going to be Osik in the Avelus. Omer Alav Rabbi Chanan Ben Gamliel, Shaya Omer Shmu of Agada B'Beis HaAvel. They said about Rabbi Chanan Ben Gamliel that he used to learn in the Beis HaAvel. He used to say a Shmu. This idea that Eram Shmua Vagada Beis HaAvel, the Ramban in Torah Adam, brings two explanations. Number one, he says it could be that it's talking about Shabbos, that even though we're not knowing Avelus on Shabbos, we're not Osek in Beis HaAvel in Torah, in Halacha or in Agada, but if it's but if a Shaila comes up that's no Gei Lamaisa, then you could be Mori Isser Vahetir. Then the second explanation, he says, when we say Eram Shmua Beis HaAvel, it doesn't mean the bias that the Avelim are Yoshvim Sham, it means the Beis Medrash of the Chacham or the Av Beis Din that died. And the Braisa is just a continuation of what we were talking about just before, of a Chacham or Av Beis Din or a Nasi being Mevatel their Beis Medrash. So we say that Bate Midrashos are Betelim Lagamri, that not only is the Beis Medrash Batel somewhat, but even the Shmua Va'agadah you're not going to say in the Beis Avel. You do nothing, no sort of learning in the Beis Avel, not meaning what we call the Beis Avel, in the Beis Medrash of the Avel. So two interpretations of the Ramban, that either it's an Inyan in Shabbos that we're talking about, that even though there's no Avelus Noeg on Shabbos, we don't engage in Torah on Shabbos in the Beis Avel, or it's talking about the Beis Medrash of the Chacham that passed away. Now in Shulchan Aruch it seems like neither of those interpretations of the Ramban in Torah Sa'adam. Shulchan Aruch and Shinayin Chesiv Zayin, much of the Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Avelus is based right off of the Ramban in Torah Sa'adam, meaning we are often trained to think that all of Shulchan Aruch is based on the Rambam, that the Shulchan Aruch always uses Lashon Rambam. Different parts, most of Shulchan Aruch, that's what he tries to do. He tries to use Lashon of the Rambam, but different parts of Shulchan Aruch, he picks different Rishonim. In Issa V'Heter, it's the Taras HaBayis of the Rashba that he's always using as the basis for the Pesach in Shulchan Aruch. So in Shulchan Aruch, he says, not like either interpretation of the Ramban. He says, Ve'enom Shmo V'agad Beis Avel El Yoshvim V'domim, which is L'shitas HaRambam. It sounds that not like either one, that the Shulchan Aruch is not talking about a Chacham Shmeis, nor is he talking about Hilchos Avelus on Shabbos. So much stam in the Beis HaAvel, and he's saying that when you sit in the Beis HaAvel, you don't say Divrei Shmua Va'agada. Even the Menachemim don't say Shmua Va'agada. We're not talking about a din in the Avel. There's a din in the Beis HaAvel that even the other people in the Beis HaAvel are not supposed to talk and learning in a Beis HaAvel. So it would turn out that nobody should say anything in learning in the Beis HaAvel. So it's a big kasha that Salvechik pointed out. It's a little bit strange that we have a practice in the Beis HaAvel in between Mincha and Mariv. They always say Mishnayis. In the art scroll of Avelus Siddur, they have a collection of Mishnayis that they suggest learning in a Beis Avel. It became a very widespread minhag Yisrael to learn Mishnayis in the Beis Avel. So one possibility is maybe you could learn Mishnayis from Moed Katan. You could learn these Mishnayis that we're holding in right now. But some of the Achronim suggest in the Imre Baruch on the side of the Shulchan Aruch and Shin Ayin Ches, he says it could be to learn Luzchus Nishmas HaMeis, that's permitted. To learn as a Zecher Neshama for the Meis, that's Mutter. The Aruch HaShulchan writes, Ulefi Zeh Yesh L'tmoa Al Minageinu Shekam Alom De Mishnayis B'Beis HaAvel. He says, I've seen people learn Mishnayis, and why do we do that? V'gam B'Gemara Alom De Manchei Chevra Shas K'sha Meis HaYomei Chevra. And then he says, there used to be such a thing called the Chevra Shas in every shul. So he said, when one of the Chevra Shas would pass away, the Chevra Shas would learn in the Beis HaAvel. Ulevad Zeh Ein Shum Tam Loma Lo Yilmdu Acherim Beis HaAvel V'Adra B'Chov Shum Zeh Lizchus L'Nishmaso. He says, besides, I don't even understand why there would be an issue. Adrabba, what greater zechus could there be for the neshama than to be engaged in Talmud Torah? Okay, he doesn't understand, but the Gemara says that, and the Shulchan Aruch Paskins that way, that there's no Talmud Torah in the Beis HaAvel. So the Tzava of the Sivas, he writes, "V'kol shuvus yimei avelus yosva asara lomdim v'beischem sheyilmudu mishnayis," that he dafka said that they should learn mishnayis l'zeicher nishmaso. So for whatever reason, we have a tradition dafka by mishnayis. I don't think we have a tradition anymore to we have a minig anymore to learn Gemara or anything like that in the beisavul. But mishnayis is osios neshama, and there's something about the mishnayis that for whatever reason we have a practice that we learn mishnayis even in beisavul. Tanu rabbanan avul shabbos rishona in the yotzim pesach beisav. In the first week that a person is in Avelus, he doesn't leave his house at all. He doesn't even go to shul because he has to be focused on his Avelus. Shniya, the second week, Yotze Veni Yoshe B'mkomo. He can go, but he doesn't sit in his normal spot in shul. He sits in a special place designated for Avelim because it's the Kvod HaShomeis that everyone should realize that things are not usual for his relatives. Shlishis, in the third week of the Avelus, Yoshe B'mkomo. He goes back to his normal seat, but Ve'enu Medaber. He doesn't act in a social manner. Revius, in the fourth week of his Avelus, he's now transitioned into regular life and he's able to behave like everybody else. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Lo Hutz Cholomer, Shabbos Rishon, Lo Yetzim Pesach Beiso, Shai Kol Nechnasim Lo Beiso L'Nachmo. You don't have to say that he doesn't leave the first week. Of course he doesn't leave the first week. He's so busy with everyone coming to visit him. When would he ever leave anyway? Ella, so if we want to set up the calendar, it goes as follows. Shnia Ein Yetzim Pesach Beiso, the second week he doesn't go to shul. Shlish is Yotzev Eni Yoshe B'mkomo. It's the third week that he goes and he changes his seat. And Revius Yoshe B'mkomo. Fourth week he sits in his normal seat, but Veinu Medaber, but he doesn't speak. And then Chamish is Areu Kekol Adam. It's only in the fifth week that he fully is back to a regular member of the Beis HaKnesses. So now the Gemara brings a brisa about an Ovel getting married. So Tan Rabbanan, let's say a person loses a relative. So Kol Shloshim Yom L'Nisun. For the first 30 days, for the entire Shloshim of his Avelus, he's not allowed to get married during that time period. Mesa Ishto, if his wife dies, Asu Lisa Isha Acheres, he's not allowed to get remarried, he's not allowed to marry another woman, Achi Yavril of Shlosha Regalim, until three Regalim pass from Misa Ishto, because if he marries another woman within that time period, he's showing that he's not being mitzta'er properly over his wife's Petira. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Regal Rishon Vesheni Asu, Rabbi Yehuda says the first two Regalim after his wife dies, he's not allowed to marry another woman, but Shlishi Mutter, but before the third regal passes, he's allowed to already get remarried. V'imein lo banim, but if he doesn't have any children or grandchildren for that matter, meaning ein lo banim means he's not mekayim the mitzvah of Puravu, right? That's what the Rishonim point out, that if one has b'nei banim, even if his children pass away, he has been mekayim the mitzvah of Puravu, because ultimately the goal of the mitzvah is to leave descendants in the world. So ein lo banim, but if he doesn't have banim or b'nei banim, then he's mutter lisa li'alter mishum bitul perivrivia. They didn't get married right away because otherwise it would be a bitul peruvu. Or if he has children but they're very young and they need to be cared for, he could also get married right away because he's going to need to take care of the children and he may be ill-equipped to do so on his own, so he's going to need to get married so someone is going to be able to help raise his children. One time the Yosef HaKohen's wife died. He said to her sister in the Beis HaKvaros, that you have to take care of the Yisomim, so I'm going to marry you right away because someone has to take care of the Yisomim. He didn't sleep with her until the Zman Meruba because that was inappropriate. He just wanted to take care of his children. So my Zman Meruba, how do we define what's called the Zman Meruba? That after Shloshim Yom, that was considered enough of a Zman Meruba. So Tosfos writes, it doesn't mean that he married her right away when they came back from the Beis HaKvaros after the Kvura, because you're certainly not allowed to get married during Shiva. That would have been totally inappropriate to get married during Shiva. So Tosa Rush writes, and Nimra Ben Atam, when he said L'chiyu Farnasi, it was only Shiduchim, that he said that he was expressing his intention to marry her, but the actual marriage happened La'achar Shiva. The Meiri writes that this Maisa must have happened toward the end of the Shiva, that they would go back to the Beis HaKvaros at the end of the Shiva. So on that day, as they were marking the end of the Shiva back in the Beis HaKvaros, then he said, okay, the next step is that we have to get married. So that's the idea of because he had young children, so he had to take care of the young children and make sure that someone would be able to raise the young children. Now it comes out that according to the Chachamim, that if a person's wife dies, he's not allowed to marry another woman until Shlosha Regalim. Let's assume there are no young young children. He has to wait shlosha regalim. According to Rabbi Yehuda, regal rishon v'sheni asur shlishi mutter. So how do you pass him? Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, how long you have to wait after a wife dies. So the Rush passes like Rabbi Yehuda, that you wait shnei regalim, and already by the third regal it's mutter. And that's what the Ramban and the Ritzkeus passes as well. And that's what you'd expect, because halachak divrei mekel be'evil. So we're always going to go like the more mekel shita. So that's what you'd expect. The Rambam and the Smag and other Rishonim over Paskin like the Chachamim, and that is not what you would expect, because even though it's the Rabbim against the Yachid, and you'd imagine you normally Paskin like a Rabbim against the Yachid, but that's not true when it comes to Avelus. When it comes to Avelus, it's always Halachik Divrei Mekel. So in the Chumas Hadeshen, he Paskins like the Chachamim, and he says, even though Halachik Divrei Mekel by Avelus, but based on the reason the Rishonim give for the waiting, is Kadesh Yishkach as Avas HaRishona, that it's not really about Avelus, it's that there shouldn't be Shnei Deos Bemita. It's that psychologically he's going to constantly be thinking of his first wife, and we need to give him time to get past that point where his first wife is dominating his thoughts. So that has nothing to do with Avelus. That has nothing to do with Nihuge Avelus. That's psychology. And you could say Halachik Divrei Mekel ba'Avelus all you want, but it's not going to change that fundamental psychology. And therefore we go back to the basic klal. When does the psychology change? When do we assume that it's not going to be Shnei Deos Bemita? So that's Yachid V'Rabim Halacha K'Rabim. That's what the Chumas Hadeshen writes. In the Chumas Marimi Brona, he writes that there were those who wanted to be matir, that if someone was Mesa Ishto before Rosh Hashanah, that he could already get married after Sukkot, because Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are like regalim. So as soon as Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot pass, so it's already three regalim. That even if you only need three regalim, maybe it's not what we call the Shalosh regalim, it's three Yom Tovim. So it could happen in quick succession, one right after the other. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, and right away he's going to get remarried. He says, according to those Rishonim that say that the reason you have to wait is to Kadesha Tishtakach Ishto Rishona, and they shouldn't have Beis Deos Bimita, it's not Mistavr to say that, because the Indian of Regalim is that the Simcha of the Regalim causes Shicha, meaning it's such a strange way to phrase it. Why not say you have to wait X number of months? To put it in terms of Regalim really depends on the timing of the death. So the fact that the Gemara formulates it in terms of regalim tells you that it's not only about the passage of time, that it's also about something about regalim that help you get past or get through the Misas Ishto to the point where psychologically it changes once you have that those regalim. So he suggests that what that means is that the simcha of the regalim are gorim shicha. So he says, okay, but then Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur shouldn't help, because you don't have riboy simcha on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So if it's the simcha saragalim that does it, so Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur shouldn't count. But it should turn out that Purim should count. That even though Purim is not really a regal, in fact that it's not a Yom Tov, but it's a time of great simcha, so if there's a day on the calendar that involves a great sense of simcha, so then maybe that should count as far as getting remarried. Okay, so now the Gemara brings a brisa about wearing freshly laundered and pressed clothing. Tana Rabban, kol shloshim yom legehutz. For the first 30 days, the Chum Aser wearing begadim guhatim, finely, freshly pressed clothing, because it's a gnai to do that during Avelus. Echad kelim chadashim, vechad kelim mishanim, whether they are new clothing or old clothing, yotzim mitoch hamachbesh, if they come from the press, you're not allowed to wear them. Rebbe Omer, lo asra ele kelim chadashim levad. No, this Iser is only if it's brand new kelim. Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon Omer, lo asra ele kelim chadashim levanim levad. A further qualification. It's got to be brand new and white and pressed. And only then do you have an iser of wearing such kelim. Abaye nafik begarda desarbla. Abaye would go out during the shloshim wearing a certain type of white, old, but freshly pressed garment. Kerebi, because he held like Rebbe, that it's only for the 30 days of Avelus, even begadim levanim, but are only an iser when they're also new. So since this beged wasn't new, he felt that it was permissible to go out with it. Rava nafik, Rava went out during his shloshim, bechimutz with a red, brand new item of clothing that came from Rome, because Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, he also Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, that it's only begadim levanim that are asur to go out. So since he was wearing a red garment, so it doesn't sound so yeshivish, but he was wearing a red garment, so he was able to go out during the shloshim, even during his avelus, even though it was a freshly pressed red garment. So you see, it's machlok sabai and rava, which day at the paskin like. Now since machlok sabai and rava, we always pass on like Rava, so that's what the Tosfos points out. You're allowed to wear b'tok shoshim me'evel begadim guhatzim that are colored clothing,
even if they're brand new clothing. But begadim ugvatzim that are old clothing, even if they're or begadim ugvatzim that are old, even if they're white, because we pass on like the shita of Rava. Now we move on to the sugya that takes the rest of the daf. That Shabbos is olav the inim of sekas. Shabbos counts toward the shiva, but it doesn't break the shiva. So there's a shiva in there's a Shabbos in the middle of every shiva. So Gemara brings a machlokas whether we're knowing min hage avelus on Shabbos, and each one is medayik from that one line in the Mishnah that Shabbos is olav the inim of sekas. Bnei Yehuda bnei Galila. The Bnei Yehuda and the Bnei Galil had a machlokas. Hani Amri. One group said yesh avelus b'Shabbos, that the avel is knowing full min hage avelus on Shabbos, like with the minhagi avelus shabbatzina that people are not going to be able to see, like Tashra Shamita. Behani Amri ain avelus b'Shabbos, and the other one says no, there's no avelus bichlal on Shabbos. Even dvarim shabbatzina we are not knowing on Shabbos, that there's simply no avelus whatsoever on Shabbos. So that's the fundamental machlokas, whether there's avelus on Shabbos or no avelus on Shabbos. There's machlokas rishonim what the Gemara means. The Ramban writes that it's dvarim kipshutam, that there's avelus on Shabbos like during a weekday, afilu b'farhesia, that that's what the Ramban says. Well, that the sheet that says yesh avelus b'Shabbos means full avelus, even in a way that everybody's going to recognize. Tosos, however, understands that even if you say yesh avelus b'Shabbos, is the way we translated it, that it's only avelus b'tzina, but avelus b'farhesia, nilus asandal, certainly things like that you don't do on Shabbos. So according to the Ramban, that the man yamri yesh avelus, you're knowing all dina avelus, it's difficult because we have brises that tell us explicitly that there's no avelus b'Shabbos. The Gemara on Chav Zaynam and Aleph tells us, it brings a brisa, me'ema say zokvinas amitos be'erev Shabbos. At what point do they do Zakifa Samita? Do they put the beds back upright on Erev Shabbos? Oh, mina mincha l'mayla. What do you mean Zakifa Samita? If you have to be knowing Avelus on Shabbos, according to the Ramban, in the fullest sense, you don't change anything right before Shabbos. Another price we can have on Chavdalin, tomorrow's daf, that throughout the entire Shiva, that the torn beged should be in front of you, in a place that's evident that everyone can see it. But b'Shabbos, the Korea is la'achorav, that it's behind him. Why doesn't the Gemara prove from these prices that ain't Avelus b'Shabbos? If fact that we're doing these things, Elamai must not be a raya, because these are Dvarim Shebefarhesya, and even if you hold Yesh Avelus B'Shabbos, you observe these Dvarim Shebefarhesya. So it's a major kasha on the Ramban. So the Ramban obviously thought of these questions. One thing you'll never catch the Ramban on is a Maramakum. Certainly not a Gemara that's a blot or two away, but any Maramakum. The Ramban's Bekiyus was astounding. So the Ramban writes that even though there's Avelus B'Shabbos, we're Zok Fin Amita, because by Kfiyas Amita there's a Tsar Godol. So Dafka that they didn't want to do on Shabbos. Or the Brice is talking about other mitos in the bias that you're not zoke l'kavan rabim that are mesubim aleim b'Shabbos. But the Avol's mita itself, in a chinami, we don't do zekifas amita. It's only zekifas amita on everybody else's bed. And from the Brice that says the korah la'achorav, that's not a kasha, because kriya is not part of the dinim of Shiva. Because if you want, you could be machlof bigdo and you don't have to be korea again. So b'Shabbos, because of kavan Shabbos, you're machlof the kara. Meaning not all dine kriya are dine avelus. We do the Kriya before the Avelis even begins. The Avelis is at Stima Sagolo. Kriya is at Shasi Tias Neshama. Technically, we do it at the Levaya normally, but technically, Shasi Tias Neshama has got nothing to do with Avelis. So the Ramban says neither of those rayas are a strong raya against me. Now, why is Tosus think that there's a difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov? So Tosus alludes to the idea that on Shabbos there's no din of Simcha, and that's why Shabbos can count toward the Shiva. On Regel, there's a din of Simcha. On Regel, there's a din of Simcha. Let's actually see another line in the Gemara. Well, that will become clear. So Mandiam Avelus B'Shabbos, one that says that there is Avelus B'Shabbos to Katani Ola, because it says Shabbos counts toward the Avelus. So therefore, Avelus is knowing on Shabbos, because if you're not knowing Avelus, why would it count toward the Shiva if you're not even doing anything? Mandiam Rein Avelus B'Shabbos, one that says there's no Avelus B'Shabbos to Katani Enim Afsekas, says it doesn't break the Avelus. So that implies that you're not observing Avelus, otherwise of course it doesn't break the Avelus if you're actually observing the Avelus. If you're actually observing Avelus B'Shabbos, Hasha Avelus Naga, if you're being knowing Avelus of Sukkum Yibayi, you need to tell me it doesn't break the Avelus. Of course it doesn't break the Avelus. You're actually observing the Avelus. So that's what Tosus points out, the Raya of the Gemara, from the fact that it says Ola, either is that the Raya is that the Tana doesn't explain the Mishnah that Ein Avelus Naga B'Shabbos, because if Ein Avelus Naga the Tana should have said straight out that afal pisha ola einu noeg ba avelus. Maybe that's the raya that mandam yesh avelus is from the lashon of ola, because if it was ein avelus, it should have said that even though it's ola, but don't do it, don't do avelus. And the other shita tells says the raya is from the fact that the Mishnah says ola. It sounds like ola throughout the kol minyan shiva and for the avelus, meaning that there's no chiluk between Shabbos and the other weeks and the other days of the week, and you're knowing avelus and Shabbos just like you're knowing bimos hachol, and that's why the avelus counts toward the shiva. That's the raya of that shita. But what is mavur from Tosfos also is that there's a difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov, because on Shabbos there's no din of simcha, and that's why Shabbos counts toward the minyan of shiva. But by regel there's a din of simcha, and since there's such a concept called simchas haregel, we can't have regel count toward the shiva. That's what the Nimuka Yosef says in the Mishnah and Dafir Aleph as well, that by Shabbos there's no din of simcha, there's only a din of oneg, and therefore Shabbos counts toward the minyan of shiva, because Shabbos is not an inherent stira to the avelus, because there's no mitzvah of simcha on Shabbos. However, that is not abundantly clear, that there's no mitzvah of simcha on Shabbos. The Sifri in Parshas Paloscha writes, "Ubiyom simchaschem ubmaadechem ubrashi chadshechem biyom simchaschem elu Shabbosos." And the Beis Yosef quotes the Sifri in Sim Reish Pei Aleph. He says, well, that which we say yismuchu b'malchuscha pirush harav Rabbeinu Avigdor Kohen Tzedek shesomcha al mashakosuv biyom simchaschem ubmaadechem va'amru biyom simchaschem ze Shabbos. And he says, "V'yesh lo mashal ze somcha lomar v'yismuchu bein kol Yisrael mekar." That we highlight the inyan of simcha in our tefillah on Shabbos. Why are we highlighting the inyan of simcha? There's no simcha on Shabbos. Elamai, there is an inyan of simcha on Shabbos. The Yerushalmi also, the Ran on the Rif in Megillah, quotes the Yerushalmi that they have a discussion of Purim is chal on Shabbos. Do you do the Su'uda, the Purim Su'uda on Shabbos? So the Yerushalmi says, Armalei lasso sosam yimei mishta v'simcha ksiv, eshe simchaso tliya bebezdin, yatsuz eshe simchaso tliya b'dei shamayim hi. That the Yerushalmi says, you can't do Su'udas Purim on Shabbos, because the Su'uda is the mitzvah of Simchas Purim. Simchas Purim has to be mitakonas beizdin. But if there's any way a simcha that's mitakonas shamayim, then you can't be mekayim the simcha of takonas beizdin. So the implication is that there is a simcha on Shabbos. However, the Ramah in Or Chaim Simtov Kuf Nun Gimel Sif Beis says that we're knowing not to learn Torah on Erev Tishbav, and even when Tishbav falls on Yom Rishon, you don't learn Torah on Shabbos after Chatzos. So the Taz says, I don't understand. What do you do for Shalosh Shudas, for Shabbos Suda, when Erev Tishbav is Chal and Shabbos? You know what you do? Afilu Kesuda Shloma Melech B'Shaito. Basar, Yayin, everything. So apparently we do everything. We have a full meal. So he says, no, that's because there's a mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos. But when it comes to learning Torah, it's not a din in Oneg, it's a din in Simcha. And there's no Simcha on Shabbos. That's how the Taz explains the Shita Sarama. So this is the tension we have. Pasha says there's some level of Simcha, but not the same as Simcha Saregel. That's not the same level of Simcha that you'd have for Simcha Saregel. So anyway, so it says the Gemara now, how does each one deal with the other phrase in the Mishnah, Velaha Katani Ola, the one that says that Ein Avelus B'Shabbos, what does he do with the word Ola? The Ola sounds like it counts toward the Avelus, so that you're knowing Avelus. So I need to combine this with Seifa. Ein an Ola, no, it's only because in the Seifa it's going to say that the Regalim are not Ola to the Minyan Avelus, so Tana Reisha Ola. That's why the Reisha, just to keep it parallel to the Seifa, says Ola, that it counts toward the Minyan Avelus, but not that you actually observe Avelus on Shabbos. The Shita says Yesh Avelus B'Shabbos, but doesn't it say Einam Afsekes that it's not Mafsik the Avelus? But if you're knowing Avelus, of course it's not Mafsik the Avelus. So Mishum the Kabbalah Mishnah Seifa Mafsik, and it's because the Seifa, when it talks about Regalim, is going to say that Regalim are Mafsik the Avelus. So Tana Reisha Einam Afsekes. That's why the Reisha says that it's not Mafsik the Avelus. Lema Ketanayim. Maybe this is in fact Machlokas Tanayim, because we have a Brisa that tells us as follows: Misha Meso Mutal Lefanav. If a person has not yet buried their relative, ochel b'bayis acher, they should eat in a different room, not where the mace is. Ein lo b'bayis acher, if they don't have a different room to go to, ochel b'beis chavero, they should go to someone else's house. Ein lo b'beis chavero, if they don't have a friend, oslo mechitza sar tfachim, they should build a mechitza of 10 tfachim in between the mace and where they're eating. Ein lo davar lasus mechitza, if they don't have material with which to make a mechitza, eats of asar tvachim, machzer part of yochel. They should turn their face away and eat. Eino meis of yochel. They should not lean on the left side and eat, because the achil be'aseba is a minig of gedula and chashivos, and an onain is not allowed to act in such a way. Ve'eino ochel basar ve'eino shosi yayin. An onain doesn't eat meat or drink wine, right? Unlike an avel, the Gemara says lo nivri yayin el lenachim bo'as avelim. The main purpose of wine is to be menachem avelim with, but an onain doesn't eat meat and drink wine. A lot of avelim get confused by that. They think they're not allowed to eat meat and drink wine. An onain is not allowed to eat meat and drink wine. Ve'ein mevarich ve'ein mezamin. He's not mevarich and he doesn't say birch samazon. Ve'ein mevarich and alav. And we're not motzi him in birch samotzi ve'ein mezamin alav. We're not mitzarif him to a zimin. O patim rekriyash ma'am in a tefillim in a tefillim kol mitzamurus b'torah. And he's patim from all mitzvahs in the Torah at the time that he's an onain, because he's osik b'tzarchik for a sameis, which is a mitzvah, and osik b'mitzvah is patim in a mitzvah. O b'shabbos, but if the aninus goes over a Shabbos, right? Someone dies right before Shabbos, and the kavur is going to be on Sunday, so he's an onin on Shabbos. Mesav yochel, he's allowed to do haseba while he eats. Vochel basar v'shosiyayin, he eats meat, he drinks wine, and mevarech, umezamein, he says regular brachas and benching, umevarech and mezamein the love. They include him in the zimun, they're motzi him in the motzi. V'chayiv b'kriyash v'tfila b'tfilin kamen tzomeres b'torah. He's chayiv b'kriyash v'tfila and tfilin. That's probably just the riata delishna that we say tfilin. He probably should not put on tfilin on Shabbos. And kamen tzomeres b'torah. He's chayiv in all the mitzvahs, because on Shabbos he's not going to be involved in the burial anyway, because it's Shabbos. Rav Gamliel on mitokshin is chayiv be'elu and is chayiv be'kulan. Once he's chayiv in these mitzvahs, meaning kriyash man tefila, he's chayiv in all mitzvahs, even the ones that we didn't mention. So what's the nafkamina? The impression you got from the Tanakhama was that he's chayiv in all the mitzvahs also, right? So what's Rav Gamliel adding? So Vam Rabbi Yochanan tashamita ikabinayu. The difference between Tanakhama and Rav Gamliel is tashamita. That's the machlokas. According to the Tanakhama, an onin is also with Tash Shamita, according to Rav Gamliel, an onin is chayven kol mitzvos, and therefore Tash Shamita is mitzvos ona, so he does that as well. So my lab bahakam efgi. Now, when Rabbi Yochanan says that they argue about Tash Shamita, aren't they saying the Mar Saba that Tanakama holds Yesh Avels b'Shabbos, and therefore Tash Shamita is zaser, because at least Varm Shabbatzina are going to be knowing Avels on Shabbos, and Mar Saba ain't Avels b'Shabbos, and Rav Gamliel seems to be saying the opposite, that there's no Avels on Shabbos at all, and therefore it's mutter b'Tash Shamita. So you see the machlokas between the Bnei Yehuda and the Bnei Galil, whether one is knowing any Avelus on Shabbos, is really a machlokas Tanayim as far as Tash Shamita on Shabbos. So Mimai says, well, no, the two machlokas do not necessarily align with each other at all. Dilma ad kan lo kamar Tanakama hasam. Maybe when the Tanakama says that Avelus is knowing by an onen on Shabbos, in that he's not allowed to have Tash Shamita, that's al mishum to mesum mutal lefanav. He's not even an Avel yet. He's in the height of his tsar. It's mesum mutal lefanav. The kvur hasn't even happened yet. So that's why he's also b'tashu shemitah on Shabbos. Aval hacha de mesa mutal lefanav. But in the case of an avel, where he's during Shiva and the mesa is not mutal lefanav, the mesa, the kvur already happened, lo, then there's no issue of b'tashu shemitah on Shabbos. And you could also say the reverse, that maybe both the Tanakam and Ram Gamliel would agree that yesh avelus b'Shabbos. But ad kan lo kamar Ram Gamliel lasam. Maybe Ram Gamliel says that you're not knowing avelus by an onen and he's mutter b'tash shamita. That's because da kati lo chal avelus alei. It's because he's not yet an avel. So the issue of tash shamita is a din in yehuge avelus. But he's not yet an avel if he's an onen. Avelach the chal avelus alei. But maybe when he's an avel, when the shiva has started, hachinami, maybe Ram Gamliel would agree that since the avelus has already been chal, it's chal and Shabbos as well. Maybe the avel is aser b'tash shamita. So b'mi Rabbi Yochanan. So he raised the shayla. No, what are we paskin? Is there or isn't there avelus b'Shabbos? So Amalei ain't avelus b'Shabbos. Says we don't do avelus b'Shabbos. Even dvarim shabbatzina, the avel should not be knowing on Shabbos. Rabbi Yochanan Tosfos points out was not mekabel this. He says dvarim shabbatzina are knowing on Shabbos. So the Rabbi Yaakov Emden points out that this conversation never happened. It's impossible that Rabbi Yochanan met Shmuel panim el panim, because he didn't know Shmuel, because Rabbi Yochanan lived his entire life in Eretz Yisrael and Shmuel lived his entire life in Bavel. Neither one ever went to the other place, so it must be that he sent him a letter, that they heard of each other, they knew each other by reputation only. So this idea of whether there's Avelus on Shabbos or not, we brought a raya from the whole Brisa about an onain and what an onain is and is not allowed to do. So there's a machlok Rishonim where the Isra Achilas Basar and Shtiyas Yayin of an onain onen is even when the onen is in a totally different city where it's not his responsibility to bury the dead. Tosfos in Maseches Brachos brings a strange maisa. I mean, not strange, but a maisa that's difficult. The maisa where Rabbeinu Tam's sister died on Shabbos, and they let him know on Motzai Shabbos when he was in a different city, and he ate meat and he drank wine on that Motzai Shabbos. And he says she has a husband that's going to be Osik B'Kfurasa, so there's no issur of Basar V'Yayin for him. So Tosfos says that it could be that even for Rabbeinu Tam, that the maisa happened to be Rabbeinu Tam was in a different city. But Tosfos guesses that maybe even if Rabbeinu Tam was in the same city, that his sister still had a husband who was taking care of the kavura, he probably still would have eaten meat and drunk wine. So the Rush says, how can you say that? That whenever you're not the one responsible for the kavura, you're allowed to eat meat and drink wine? He says, then the Gemara should just say, only Yorshim are not allowed to eat meat and drink wine, because the Yorshim are the ones that are responsible for the kavura. So the person has children, those are the people that eat meat and drink, that are not allowed to eat meat and drink wine, and all the brothers and sisters and everybody else should be allowed to eat meat and drink wine. So the Rush is cholik on Rabbeinu Tam as far as this is concerned. Okay, Beth Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up on the top of Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos.